who would get his clothes. The people stood there watching. The leaders made fun of Jesus. They said, "If he is God's chosen one, the Christ, then let him save himself. He saved other people, didn't he?" Even the soldiers made fun of him. They came to Jesus and offered him some vinegar. They said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." At the top of the cross, these words were written, "This is the King of the Jews."
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Miles. That was brilliant reading. Thank you very much indeed. It'd be great if you've got a Bible with you, either in the building or at home, if you can keep your Bible open there to Luke 23. And as we come to Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus, I guess we're thinking about things which are very familiar to us all. They are central to our faith. They are utterly essential. But that means that we need really God's help to pay really close attention to them. So let me pray and ask for God's help now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who died for us. Lord, please give us ears to hear and eyes to see all that was going on that very first Good Friday and all that it means for us this morning. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to use our imaginations to try and get ourselves into the experience of what that first Good Friday would have felt like. What kind of things would we have seen? What kind of things would we have heard on that very first Good Friday? It's going to help if us, as we go on this journey together, if you've got your Bible, so that you can have a little look. If you're a little bit younger, you might need your mum and dad to just help you find the little verses as we go along. But that's going to be what we're going to do together. To start with, we're going to think about the sights of that first Good Friday. So I wonder, have you got your binoculars ready if you're a little bit younger in the building? Let's see. We're going to zoom in on verse 27 to start with, to see our first sight. Does anyone want to tell me what we can see there? "There followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting." What do we see happening? What do we see? What's happening? Anyone want to tell us? Yes, Andy. There's a crowd of people. And what are the people doing? They're crying, aren't they? The first thing we see, the first sight of the first Good Friday, is weeping women. Weeping women. And that is because this is a sad day. There were women in that crowd on the very first Good Friday who understood that what was happening was sad. He saw that what was taking place was unfair and unjust. And so they cried real tears of real sadness that Jesus was being led away to be put to death. As they watched Jesus with the help of Simon of Cyrene carrying the cross up the hill to the place where he would be crucified, they were desperately sad. Now, often when we get to this part of the Bible story, when we're reading children's Bibles with Emily and Samuel at home, it is this story of Jesus being put to death on a cross that Emily really doesn't like it when we get to it. She feels really sad. I don't know if you've ever felt that way when you've read this story. And as we look at these women, I think we can see, well, there's something right about that. Good Friday is a sad day. But do you notice what Jesus said to the weeping women? Have a look at verses 28 and 29 with me. "Turning to them, Jesus said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.'" Jesus said, don't cry for me, cry for yourselves. You see, Jesus chose to go to the cross. So he is not looking for our pity. But he does say, yes, it's a sad day. Because the fact that Jesus' death was necessary is a sign that our world is broken. That people have turned their backs on God. That bad things and sad things are part of the world we live in. He's saying that, Jesus is saying that's what should make us sad. As we watch him walk up the hill to be crucified, we should be sad about the fact that it's necessary. And the fact that judgment is coming. So don't cry for Jesus today. Cry for the injustice, the evil, the abuse in our world. Cry because life is hard. Cry because so many people are lost without hope and heading towards judgment without Jesus. We need to get our binoculars out again and see what else is going on in these verses. I don't know if you've got your binoculars ready. Wonderful, yep, some good binoculars here in the building. Not seeing many on the screen at home, but that's okay. We're going to have a look at verses 32 and 33 next. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. The second sight of the first Good Friday is the crucified criminals hanging on the cross. One on Jesus' right and one on Jesus' left. Now the question is, did Jesus deserve to die with them? Was he guilty or was he innocent? What do you think in the building? Was he guilty or was he innocent? Innocent. Jesus was innocent. Luke had made it utterly clear to us in all that we were thinking about last week that Jesus had done nothing wrong. Pilate found him innocent. Herod brought no charges against him. And even the centurion who was involved in putting Jesus to death ends up saying in verse 48, certainly this man was innocent. So as we look at the scene of three men hung on a cross, what is the innocent, guiltless Jesus doing hung on a cross with two hardened criminals on either side of him? Remember, this was the most serious punishment that Rome had to offer. It was one of the most painful ways to die. And as you looked at the scene, if you were in the crowd that day, you'd look up and you'd see, well, three criminals, wouldn't you? This is the way criminals die. Jesus is slap bang in the middle, facing the same fate as these evil men. But remember, Jesus has chosen this path. And before he was betrayed and arrested, this is what Jesus said we should expect. Back in Luke 22, verse 37, as he spoke to his disciples, he said, I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Or in the children's version, it says, he was treated like a criminal. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, which is coming up on the screen for us. Jesus says this in advance of going to the cross. He willingly gave his life. He was treated like a criminal, but he carried away the sins of many people. And he asked for forgiveness for those who sinned. You see, it is not fair that Jesus should suffer like a criminal. But he chooses to be treated like a criminal, like the baddest and the meanest, so that he can wash away all the wrong things we've ever done. By taking our place, by becoming like a criminal, by dying the death we deserve, Jesus says, that's how I'm going to carry away the sins of many people. That's how I'm going to wash you clean. So because he became like the very worst of us, taking the worst of punishments, he can welcome even the worst of us into his family. What wonderful news. No one is too bad for Jesus. No one is too far gone. No one is unforgivable. We need our binoculars back out again. If you've got your binoculars ready to find the next sign, we're going to be in verse 44 for our next one. So let's have a careful look. Verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Our third sign that we see is deep darkness. Now, this was really odd. Can you imagine if at lunchtime today it suddenly went pitch black? That would make you sit up and pay attention, wouldn't it? If the sun just stopped working at 12 noon today and it went pitch black until 3 p.m. Close your eyes for a moment. Imagine being dark in the middle of the day. Imagine all you can really see, you can just kind of make out some shadowy figures hanging on a cross. You can hear some words, you can hear some noises, you can hear some men crying out in pain. You can open your eyes. You would struggle to see on that day. You'd struggle to hear voices. You'd wonder what was going on. Why is it dark in the middle of the day? Well, the darkness is showing us that the day Jesus was crucified was a day of judgment. A day when God was pouring out his anger against all the evil, all the sin, all the rebellion in our world, and letting it fall on Jesus. All the bad things were being dealt with, so that we can head towards a day, as we've been thinking about in the book of Revelation over these last few months, where it will be always light, where there will be no more darkness anymore. The first Good Friday was, in a very real sense, the darkest of days. But it was through this dark day that God was making a way for the darkness and death to be swallowed up in victory, to be swallowed up in victorious, everlasting light. Now, if you squinted and strained your eyes through the gloom and the darkness on that day, you would have found a clue pointing to the fact that this isn't just a sad day that we're reading about, or an unfair day, or a day of judgment, but something that would help you see that there might be good to come from all of it. So we need our binoculars out one more time. Are you ready? And I reckon if we look up on the screen, our next clue might come up there for us. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Fantastic. There was a simple sign hung above Jesus' head that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Hanging there above Jesus, as he was dying, was a sign that declared him to be the king. Now, this sign may well have been written as a joke by those who crucified him, to mock him. But it speaks profound, life-changing truth to us this morning. This crucifixion day was actually a coronation day where the king was being crowned, where the true king of the universe was being crowned with glory, even as he hung on the cross with a crown of thorns. You see, he was leading the battle that day against the enemy, as every good king should. As he looked his most vulnerable and weak, he was defeating death. What a king we have in Jesus. That he would die that we might live, that he would suffer in our place. What a love our king has for us, and what a cost he paid for us. Well, we're going to sing of that love and of that cost now. I'm going to invite the band back out. We're going to sing "Oh to See the Dawn." Then we're going to have the second part of our reading from Phoebe Suclow from Home. And then we're going to have a look at and a think about the things that we can hear happening on the very first Good Friday. So over to the band.
23 verses 39 to 49. One of the criminals began to shout insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself and save us too." But the other criminal stopped him. He said, "You should fear God. You are getting the same punishment as he is. We are punished justly. We should die. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then this criminal said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Then Jesus said to him, "Listen, what I say is true. Today you will be with me in paradise." It was about noon, and the whole land became dark until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was no sun. The curtain in the temple was torn into two pieces. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, I give you my life." After Jesus said this, he died. The army officer there saw what happened. He praised God, saying, "I know this was a good man." Many people had gathered there to watch this thing. When they saw what happened, they returned home. They beat their chests because they were so sad. Those who were close friends of Jesus were there. Some were women who had followed Jesus from Galilee. They all stood far away from the cross and watched.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Phoebe, for reading for us there. Wonderful. Well, now we're going to think about the sounds of that first Good Friday now. So we're going to get our good listening ears ready. Now, the truth, as we've already seen, was plain for all to see. There was a simple sign hung above Jesus' head that told the truth that anyone who was there that day really needed to hear. This is the King. This is your King, hanging here on the cross. But what we hear shows there are different ways to respond to this King. Let's have a listen. Maybe you want to close your eyes, imagine that darkness again, and listen through the darkness at some of the things that you would have heard. Verse 35, the soldiers mocked him, scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." Something else we'd have heard, verse 37. The ruler saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." Even one of the criminals shouted, mocked and insulted Jesus, verse 39. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Jesus, the true King, hanging on the cross, being mocked by mockers. They all seem to think the same thing, don't they? If Jesus can't save himself from this, how can he possibly save others? They're saying, look, if you're really the King, as that sign above your head says, the promised one of God, the chosen King, the Christ, prove it. Very simple. If it's true, just come down from the cross right now. Get down off your cross and show us your power. But their big mistake is to think that Jesus' death is a defeat. To think that Jesus himself, as he hangs on the cross, has been defeated and he's lost. When all the time, he is winning the greatest victory of all time. He's winning forgiveness. He's defeating death and sin. He's crushing Satan. So that 3 days later, he might pick up the victory cup of new and everlasting life and offer it freely to all who trust in him. Now, the sad thing is that so many people in our world today think that Jesus is defeated, that he's irrelevant, that he's out of date, that he's a figure to be mocked or to be ignored. Like the rulers and the soldiers that day, they don't really believe he has any power. But there was one man on that very first Good Friday who saw that it was a good Friday, or at least that it had the potential to be a good Friday, in spite of his own desperate situation. He's not the man we might expect. It's not one of Jesus' disciples. Whilst Jesus' disciples are hiding, denying him, ashamed and grieving, there was a man hanging on a cross just a few meters away from Jesus. A man who was guilty as charged, who deserved that cruel death, and yet who saw through the blood and the sweat and the agony the truth. The truth that Jesus didn't deserve this cruel fate, and that even as he hung there, Jesus was God's chosen King who was able to save even him. Let's listen again. Let's listen to what this second criminal has to say. Verse 40. The other criminal rebuked him, the first criminal, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The second thing we hear is a sinner being saved. You see, this second criminal recognized that he deserved everything that he was getting. He recognized that his fate was fair, but that Jesus was innocent. But more than that, he saw that Jesus was God's chosen king, the Christ, the rescuer that they'd been waiting for, the true king of God's kingdom. And so, recognizing his own guilt, recognizing his own need and utter helplessness, what does he do? He cries out to Jesus. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He recognizes Jesus as the true king who has a kingdom. "Remember me, please, Jesus." Well, then we hear this most beautiful of responses. Think how precious these words must have been to that man as he hung dying. Verse 43, Jesus said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus says to this dying criminal, "I'm going to take you from the agony of this cross today to the everlasting joy of my kingdom. I'm going to take you from the shame of this public execution to the privileged position of a child of God. I'm going to wipe away the criminal record that brought you to this place, all the bad that you've done, all the hurt that you've caused. And I'm going to give you a new start with a new heart in my kingdom today. Today you will be with me in paradise." What sweet words. And as we hear them, Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter who you've been associating with, who you've been mixed up with to lead you to this point. You're going to be with me now and forever, friends with the true king of the true kingdom. And so the question for us this Good Friday morning is, how will we respond to the true king of heaven? The one who is crowned with a crown of thorns in order to save us. Will we reject him? Will we ignore him? Will we mock him and deny him? Or will we turn to him? Recognize him as the true king. Recognize our own guilt. Recognize our own desperate need, our own utter helplessness. And cry out to him for forgiveness and new life that starts today and lasts forever. Well, if we do, and if we already have, then although we won't be with Jesus in paradise today, Jesus will be with us. Through his death-beating sacrifice, through his incredible victory that looked like defeat, we can be washed clean by his blood. We're given a fresh start and a new life of being loved perfectly by the God of the universe and with a certain future in heaven with him, where there will be no more death, no more evil, no more pain or suffering anymore. That is what makes Good Friday good. To quote one of my favorite modern songs that we sing here at Central, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that we see at the cross. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Let me pray that our hearts would indeed sing for joy as we remember the amazing grace, the unfailing love of Jesus that we experience today through his death-beating death on the cross. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise that today, for those who know Jesus, we have a fresh start and a new life. We thank you that we have the certain hope of heaven, where we will be with you, where there will be no more pain or death or suffering anymore. We praise you for your Son, Jesus, who made it all possible by taking our guilt and shame on his shoulders, stepping into our place, dying the death we deserve. Oh Lord, fill us with joy today that we, as we remember that Jesus has taken our place and given us new life with you forever. Amen.